With the absolute craziness going on in the country, with the absolute respect for the sanctity of life, with the political changes around the world, be it Brexit or be it the Middle East still on fire, or the exponentially increased terrorism around the world, with the rapid social changes and the moral decay, we often hear the term of watchful, being watchful, right? We hear that often in the context. We do not know the day or the hour, you know, Christ coming as a thief in the night. It's important that we explore that term watchful, therefore, and I want to talk a little bit about it in a particular context today. The term is found throughout the Bible, but the context I want to concentrate on is 2 Timothy 4 and verse 5. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 5. It says, be you watchful in all things, in everything, all things. Endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Now, we know that the immediate context of this, of course, is the letter being addressed to Timothy. But does that mean that those who are not specifically ordained as ministers, ordained in whatever, can't glean lessons from this? And not just glean lessons, but eat it up and learn, right? Because this is scripture. Of course not. And what we see in this line is a heavy charge, but it's also a summary of the role of us as Christians. To be watchful in everything, not just some things. And what I'm going to propose today is that what that entails in terms of being watchful is to use the power of the Holy Spirit to maintain a balance where you're watching not only the things that are happening out in the world, but while they happen, to watch yourself. To watch yourself and watch your reactions to it. It's a watching of the outer in there and the watching of the inner in here as well. Because in that context, you see, as we read, it said, watch you in everything and then endure afflictions. And then endure. And that's the only way that you can do that. And then, on top of that, you're charged to, while that's happening, and you have to watch the outer and the inner because you have a ministry to fulfill. You have a ministry to fulfill. And that's going to be tough. It's going to be tough because as we see injustice, right, increase in the world, and this is just the beginning because I know a lot of us feel sorrowful right now in our hearts, right, about things that are happening. But as they increase, it's only going to get worse, whether it be politicians getting away with things or whether it be a police state out of control, restrictions to freedoms, or whether it be our crazy responses to those things out there in the world. We have to watch and then watch ourselves because we are supposed to be in our wisdom, and the wisdom given to us, as James was talking about, God-given wisdom, lights to the world, okay? That's when we shine, when it's dark out there. That's when we need to. Now, if we watch and we still endure the things that we see coming and continue at our job, okay? And our job is what? Our job is to proclaim the gospel out there. And we're advocates of the gospel. We're advocates of the kingdom of peace, right? And the king of that kingdom, which is Christ the Savior, the Prince of Peace, right? That's a kingdom of peace. That's a God of peace. And so when there is no peace, we have to especially be advocates for all those things. And so we fulfill our ministry despite the chaos. And wouldn't we love to do that, right? Wouldn't we love to have the strength and the courage to do that when the times get crazier and crazier? All right? It's not easy, so let's learn a little bit about how we can do that. And let's go back to the beginning of 2 Timothy 4. We started in verse 5, but I want to go to the beginning. 2 Timothy 4. He says, I charge, you know, he's pleading now. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. See, there's a true judge coming, right? There's a justice of the peace, right? And he's coming for you too. So he's not just coming to judge the world, he's coming for us too. And so we make sure that his spirit is in us, all right? That we know him, that he's not a stranger to us, right? That's when he comes as a thief, right? Because if you think, that's not going to happen to us if he lives in us. If he doesn't, and we're here in the world and the riches of the world, then we think that those riches are going to be taken away. That doesn't happen to us, right? Now, it says, preach the word. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince. Preach the word and convince. And here's an impassioned plea from Paul. And this, remember, this is not too far away from the sentence of being watchful. This is still in the context of that altogether. To preach the word, be convincing in season and out of season, convince, right? Now, what are we convincing people of? We said it before, the kingdom of God and his peace. To be sons and daughters in a God family for eternity, that's one of the most beautiful things that's reality. And it's one of the most beautiful things you'll ever hear. And so, how do we convince people of that? Especially because that's still our job as we endure the things that we see, we watch happening, right? That's the context that we are talking about when it says preach and convince, even in the context of watching what is happening out in the world, especially when the nation wants, the nation is being destroyed because the enemy wants this nation to be destroyed in some kind of race war or some political ineptitude, or whether it be debt or $19 trillion in debt or moral decay. And Satan doesn't want just this nation destroyed. He wants all nations destroyed. He wants to do away with nations. The biggest anarchist there is Satan the devil. Okay? But God is the author of nations, right? And their boundaries. And the devil wants, we've heard the term nation to rise against nation. And Mr. Davis said in a previous context that word in Matthew 24:7, you don't have to look at it. Nation rising against nation is ethnos, right? He said that's ethnicity, that's the root of ethnicity, right? And we see that happening, right? Almost at the beginning of sorrows here, we see this, and we're sorrowful about what is happening. So we're talking today about being watchful in order to fulfill our ministry despite the chaos. Being watchful that we don't get swept away in this current of emotion out there that's not controlled. Because the spirit of Christ is the spirit of self-control as well, right? Mm-hmm. To not get caught up in that, swept up in that. And that's part of being wise, and James is talking about that. Now, in terms of still preaching the word and being convincing, the church does have a structure. It has a structure so that getting the word out is its number one operating priority. That's the number one priority of the church. Your tithes and your offerings are the backbone of the operation. Right, and we saw even in addition to getting the word out that it does the good works program too. We saw that in the bulletin. So it's the back, or it's probably how God brought you into his light as well. And when we serve God faithfully in that respect, God's beautiful vision, that transformative vision, instead of the ugly vision that's out there, gets out there to more and more people. So we have to be agents of that. And so, you know, it's another plea, you know, remember, tithing is important to do, okay? This is something that, it's part of our job, it's part of our job, okay? We're a huge part of God calling other people, because if he's the head of the body, then we're his arms and legs, and we're how he operates on this planet, okay? And this is part of the way that we preach and we be convincing out there, right? And we watch. We watch ourselves. Are we fulfilling our ministry? And do we minister to others in that capacity through the church? You know, we learn, we grow, and we spread seed of truth out, right? This is what we do. And then others, as they learn and they grow and they spread that seed out as well. And then we water it a little bit, they water it a little bit, and things grow. Who does the growing, though? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God does that growing. Does that growing in the person. We're going to read that specifically. Now, I don't want to get sidetracked here too much. But if we're watchful, we also, not only are we watching out there and we're watching in here, we have to be watchful in the church as well, in the body, within the body. Because just as there's this ethnos division that that Satan wants out there, okay, he wants that division to occur in the church as well. So now more than ever, when we say United Church of God, united is such an important part of that title, okay? Such an important part of it, because even the elect can be, you know, might be swept away if God doesn't do something about it. And he will do something about it if we obey his commands, if we come here and we try to learn from his word how to stay united in a bond of peace. And we're going to read that. Now, it's no secret that there are other churches of God out there. There are other messianic groups. And what I say personally is, good luck with some of those personality cults that exist out there. All right? That, to me, we've had inevitable claims when somebody is the man and the only man, that they're one of the two witnesses and things like that. That's not going to end. That's not going to end, I tell you right now. And some people walk away because they want to have some kind of prophecy told to them in specifics, and they want the details. And so some group out there has a plan with all the prophecy things filled in already. I say good luck with that as well. Right? Because we're not going to boldly declare that such and such is the king of the south right now. We're not going to do that. God tells us clearly, we're going to do it. But other than that, we're not going to make up truth. Okay, we're not going to guess at truth. While we're watchful, we're humble, and we're patient, and we respect truth, right? And why do I say these things? I'm saying these things because it's, I'm talking about united, but am I being divisive when I say this? But here's what I'm getting at. Now, there are also, I want to talk about members. Sometimes members, there are people like this, they want everything crystal clear, cut and dry. They want you to explain every single little thing of how you obey a particular commandment. Okay? And they get so caught up in that and having to baby food feed them like this, okay? Every little detail, that they're afraid to walk in the Spirit. Right? Walk with the Holy Spirit. And some people, as a result, they get up and they walk out. And they'll walk out. If they walk back, we welcome them with open arms. We don't take anything personal. We walk, you know, and I'm not picking on any individual that you may not see here. That's not what I'm doing. We welcome them back, open arms, not a problem. Because they're still family. Whether they're in here or out there, they're still family. Okay? But part of our job is being watchful, and it includes being watchful in the church. I'm going to continue on this. 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3. Because Paul dealt with this. First Corinthians 3, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, walking in the Spirit, right? Spiritual people. The Holy Spirit in you. But as to carnal, as to babes in Christ, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you're still not able, for you're still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal, behaving like mere men? So again, it's not the ethnos just out there, the nation against nation. It's even Satan is doing that out there, but he wants to do that in here as well. And it says, for when one says, I am of Paul, right, or I am of this church of God, or the other church of God, or whatever messianic group, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul, who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who does gives the increase. Now he who plants, he who waters are one. Okay? This church acknowledges that there may be other churches out there, and that we're one in the body of Christ. Okay? We've said that before. And each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor, working just according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field. See, we have a job. And our job as members, we plant, we water a little bit, it grows through the Holy Spirit. We plant, we water, we do this, we keep doing this. God makes sure that people grow through his Holy Spirit in there. The people, including you and I, are God's field. And what has to grow in that field? What has to grow in that field? Fruit. Fruit of the Spirit has to grow there. James mentioned that in the context of wisdom. Because at the end of the day, folks, at the end of the day, the measurement is the fruit. And we're going to speak to that. In your field, whether or not you have God's Spirit in you, is how much fruit you are producing. How much fruit? Not a laundry list of the things you do necessarily. That will lead you to fruit. But fruit, love, joy, peace, we're going to see that, is what you're trying to get at. It says, you are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds it. But let each one take heed how he builds it. Like I said, good luck with some of those guys out there. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. Fire is going to test each one of us. Fiery trials are going to test each one of us. And if we're in fact living in the last days, okay, and beginning of sorrows right around the corner and tribulation, then trials are going to come on, not just out there, but in the church and in your personal life as well. And so are we going to withstand that fire? Is the Holy Spirit going to evaporate from us, going to disappear from who we are? Is our Christianity going to melt away? And are we going to then join some ridiculous things that exist out there as part of a solution rather than the kingdom of God? Fire is coming. Like water came before, fire is coming. Okay? You know, there's the popular show is Game of Thrones out there. I don't know how many watch Game of Thrones out there. It's a popular HBO thing out there. They say winter is coming. Right? And we're watching that, and the big thing is that people are cheering now for this woman riding a beast, riding a dragon. And people are now cheering for the woman riding the dragon, and the religious zealots were a bunch of idiots, and now we're cheering for bad guys. And the media does things like this. Media does things like this, but fire is coming. Okay, fire is coming. And will you withstand that? How can you withstand that? And that is by being spiritual in the way God defines it, and that is through his spiritual fruit that grows on that tree of life that we're supposed to be partaking from. That is how. Now, if that means at the end of the day that there's 20 people left in here, or things get so bad out here that there's 20,000 people somewhere, it makes no difference. You are to withstand fire. Forget about the numbers, right? You are supposed to watch out there and watch what's happening in here, okay? And not give up. Not give up, no matter what. Now, like I said, our mission is to keep dropping seed with the time that is given to us, with the space that we are given as well, because at the end of the day, we know that God's kingdom is gonna encompass all of time and space. All of time and space. But if we're not participating now, how are we going to participate then? If we're not doing that now, how are we going to participate then? And so one way, and we talked about the tithing, and you know, some people might roll their eyes at that or whatever, but hopefully that's none of us, because we don't roll our eyes. We use our eyes and we watch, and we use wisdom and we listen and we say, that's correct. All right, that's biblical. And what about us as an individual preaching and convincing? You know, it certainly doesn't just involve your brothers up here, whether it be me or Mr. Morris or anybody else standing up here preaching to the converted, so to speak, right? It involves you being ready as a conduit of God's power, of His Holy Spirit, if God so chooses to use you to wake somebody else up out there in the craziness that's occurring. Because people do want to be woken up sometimes. You know, how many people do we see, whether it be on Facebook or whatnot, you know, and they'll make a term like, they'll say something like, God, what is happening? They'll say something out loud like this. I mean, you know, some people don't mean it, but some people, maybe that's a reflection of internally what's happening. And you might drop a seed there too. You might drop a seed, maybe not in public, maybe you message them and say, hey, listen, you really want to know if you're really interested. Boom. If you're really interested. If we are God's arms and His legs and His body, and He uses us, that's what He uses us for. We're ready. We're ready because we have wisdom, because we're in the book all the time, right? We're ready because we're in the book. Now, that's a difficult task for us to be ready, but not necessarily. We can do practical things, right? If the world is upside down, we talk about, like we said, God's kingdom of peace, right? If we're going on vacation and we're at work and somebody says, hey, you going on vacation? Yeah, I'm going with the church. It's called Feast of Tabernacles. It's God's vacation plan, whatever. And you work it in a certain way. The person is Jewish, oh, Sukkot, and this, or whatever it is. Oh, no, yeah, but I'm Christian. And so you have angles, you have ways that you can speak to people. And the point is that you fulfill your ministry. This is your J-O-B. This is your job. And again, it's getting people to open the book, right? Because people want answers. And that's the toughest thing, because who reads anymore? Nobody wants to read, much less read the Bible, right? Everything is visual. Everything is TV. Everything is the video on the YouTube or whatever. And so what are they watching? What are they seeing, right? And so pagan societies, they often have rituals, they have symbols, and they have things that you can easily see. And we don't have much in the way of that, right? Because we don't have crucifixes, and we don't have things dangling from us. We don't have, you know, because we have the commandments written here. So we don't have those things. So what are they watching? They're watching our behavior. They're still watching. There's still a visual cue out there, and they're watching our behavior. And so we definitely, if we have book knowledge, we can't be hypocritical of the way we act, right? Because people are watching that. So part of watching out there, being watchful, and being watchful of yourself, is to understand that people are watching you. People are watching you as well. And so we have to be mindful of that. I forget, we forget sometimes, and we lose ourselves, right? Ourselves meaning the Christ in us. We lose the Christ in us sometimes. We don't want that to happen. So part of being convincing is to live that faith. And that is our job, to have reflect the light of Jesus Christ. And wouldn't it be nice when we see Christ, that He says, good and faithful servant, right? Rather than saying, and you have one job. We hear that term on Facebook, those memes. You have one job, and you see the hamburger wrapper says hot dogs on it or something like that. You know, it's a big joke. But we do have one job, and that is to reflect the light of Jesus Christ, because He's growing His family, and we're in His family. His brother, our brother got us in here. We have to be brothers to others that He may be calling, and we don't know who that is. So we don't withhold that truth. We don't withhold that truth. We speak the truth. We speak the truth. Now, the prior, how do we do this? What do we have people see? What is it that we have people see? And one of the things that we have people see is the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit, I don't care how sick and tired we get, because I hope we never get sick and tired of hearing of the fruit of the Spirit. I want to just... Galatians 5, verse 22. Galatians 5, verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, it's joy, peace, long-suffering, right? That's patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Gentle. How many people are gentle? Self-control. Not out of control. Not raging. Self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So many people are so passionate about their political party. Passionate about being a Democrat. Passionate about wanting Trump up there. Or passionate about Bernie Sanders. Should be passionate for the kingdom of peace. The kingdom of God that's coming. That's your first passion, your first love. Your first love. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, which means thinking that you're something that you're not, right? Provoking one another, envying one another. By this biblical, this is a biblical criteria of whether or not you are living in, whether or not you live there in the Spirit of Jesus Christ. This is the criteria. When you measure yourself, you say, don't go down the list about the Sabbath and you keep the holy days and I wash somebody's foot. Yes, check. Yeah, that is yes. Yes to all of those. But maybe you should start with this here, Galatians 5, verse 22. And take a look at yourself for Galatians 5, verse 22. We need to meditate on this. This is the measure. We're going to read how specific it says that this is the measure in other places, not just here. But by this criteria, there are some in the church that we know that it pains us because that we don't see them joyful, right? Or we don't see them at peace ever. Somebody's always either done something to them, right? Or they perceive that somebody did something or failed to do something to them or whatever it is, they're keeping score or their faithfulness and their goodness is all a laundry list of holier than thou things that they do a certain way and others don't do it, yada, yada. Brothers, for the sake of peace, we can't live that way. We can't distort God's Spirit because this is the fruit of the Spirit. This is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Of the Holy Spirit. That's what we should. It said we are God's field, right? We are God's field. This is the fruit that is produced from this field. Produce. Beautiful, ripe produce for other people to grab and eat and say, wow, this is a tree of life right here. This is life. This is the good life. But if we don't do that, if we don't show that, then we lack gentleness and we lack self-control, it's a provocation. And how do we convince others that this is the kingdom of God? What you're showing me? That's not the kingdom of God. Right? We talk about bringing peace to the earth, the church as the bride that will help Christ do that in that endeavor. And so that means we have to have peace now. And you might argue, you know, Christ does say, I did not come to bring peace, right? And he does say, you know, a child versus her mother in that context. And yes, that is true. And yes, when we say joy, yes, there's a time of sorrow coming and there is sorrow. And blessed are those who mourn. Yes, this is true as well. However, the balance of being in the book is also, and being in Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, means that you don't live in sorrow. You may experience sorrow, you may experience certain things, but you don't live there. That's not who you are, right? You don't spend your whole time there. The majority of the time, it is joy through peace. I mean, joy through sorrow, right? Peace in the middle of the chaos. Peace, because you have to be beacons. That's our J-O-B. That's our job. We have to be those beacons. And then, you know, that's part of what the devil does is that he quotes other scriptures and there's always a tit for tat, yeah, but the bottom line is whenever somebody's coming at you with different scriptures, yeah, but where do you live? Where is your primary place of residence? Is it in the Spirit? Because we know what the fruits are. We know what the fruits are of that Spirit. Using the power, because the Holy Spirit is power, to maintain a proper balance. Right. Blessed are the peacemakers, of course, they shall be called sons of God, sons and daughters. The Spirit of Christ is the Spirit of peace. Now, how do we do it? How do we flip it on the devil like that? Because it's hard. It's not easy, right? It's not easy. Acts 5, in Acts 5, we can turn there, Acts 5, verse 40. The context of this in Acts 5, verse 40, is that the leadership, the Jewish leadership, says that, let's see what becomes of them. You know, if this is of God, then something will come of it. If not, then it'll melt away, so to speak. This is a kind of testing through fire. This is, they're going to test these apostles. Yeah, we'll see about that. That's what they're saying. We'll see what comes out of this. And it says they agreed with him, and when they called for the apostles and beaten them, and they commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus. That's coming soon, by the way. That is coming soon. That's this. We're not reading history. We're reading the future before it happens. And let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council, and guess what they did? Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ, right? They were still joyfully keeping their ministry going, that ministry going, that J-O-B, even in the midst of sorrow, even in the midst of sorrow. If we struggle with that, right? Because it's a struggle. If we still struggle with this, we draw inspiration from that and another place, and this is a very good place to draw inspiration from, Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Verse 10. Let's start in verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Right? If your heart, if what you see and you see injustice and you want to wring somebody's neck, God forbid, but you get, you're so upset and your heart is not with Christ, create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a steadfast, that's an enduring spirit, right? Within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Do not take it from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. That's the point of salvation. For joy for all eternity. Not suffering for all eternity. You want eternal life. You want it to be joyful. That's the fruit of that Holy Spirit that's going to keep you alive forever. Is a joyful one. Right? Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me in your generous spirit. Then, what are you going to do then when you're restored to joy? Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. You're able to teach, you're able to convince when you're restored to joy. When you're restored to the fruits that should be there growing in your field, that should be growing there. If you're not there yet, then you pray. Then we pray, and we pray together. And that's what we do here. We pray together. The fruit of the Spirit is the nature of God's essence. Right? It's God's essence. If you're in God, you're exhibiting that. That's just the bottom line. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, and endeavoring, which means working at, to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Right? Now I want to go back to what we said. This is the United Church of God. Because this is one of the goals. This is one of the goals. To keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The glue is peace. It's the fruit, right? That fruit is the glue of the body. And it's the glue for out there as well, but also in the church as well. Because if you think you're right as rain all the time, right? And some people think they're right as rain all the time about everything. Then it's always raining where you are. And it's gray. And who wants that? right? But if you're humble, if you're gentle, and he talked, James read some quotes today about wisdom and being able to understand and being able to not be so rigid in your thinking, but being able to be corrected by the Bible, right? And the church of God, the body of Christ, the United Church of God in particular, is able to do that. Is able to do that. Now, people gravitate to that sun. They don't gravitate to the rain if you write as rain. But the bottom line is that the measure is the fruit. The measure is the fruit. And that one of those pieces of fruit, right? That piece is the bond. And so when we go to the next part of 2 Timothy 4, because we started off in 2 Timothy, remember, right? And we say preach, and it says preach the word. This is 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. It says preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, and we talked about being convincing. It says now rebuke. It says rebuke. Now rebuke is, we could look out for our brother, and we need to look out for our brothers, right? And we need to watch their back. Sometimes we need to watch their front because they might trip over something they're about to walk into, right? And so we steer them in the right direction because they're about to fall on their face. And sometimes in our zeal, we might be steering them in places that the Bible's term for that is doubtful. That means it's not necessarily clear cut where you're steering them, okay? That's how you practice your faith. But that might not be necessarily clear-cut. And what do I mean by that? What I mean by that is some people, when they're steering, gently steering somebody, they're playing bumper cars and they're bumping into them and saying, you got to be in this lane right now. And maybe that's not the way to go about doing it, right? And so part of watching ourselves, we talk about being watchful, is how we rebuke and what we're rebuking about, first of all, right? So, we're talking about gray areas. Do we steer people, when we steer people into back into truth, we want to watch that we don't steer them necessarily into gray areas. And the church, this is historic for the church as well back in the day. Back in the day, there were sincere people in the church who, for example, fasting. Fasting is a thing that you should do. Great. Fasting. It's biblical. Fasting is a thing that people did, and they said, well, you had to do it on the new moon. And there are some messianic groups, and they fast, or they don't fast on the new moons, and they fight each other over whether or not they're going to fast on the new moons. Or they fast twice a week, right? Or there are people who are vegetarians. And there's still people who are vegetarians who will tell you, well, you shouldn't eat meat, and that was the original thing in the garden, and this and that. We're aware of those arguments, right? So, and if you want to be a vegetarian, there's nothing against that. There's nothing against that. That's great. You should continue to be a, practice your faith. If that makes you stronger in the faith, then by all means do so, right? But when it talks about peace and promoting, what we're talking about is promoting the things that bind us together through peace. That's why we're the United Church of God. We bind through peace. The things, the fundamentals that we understand with each other, and that is what we promote. Because that's what's missing out in the world. Your Democrat and your Republicans, they don't even speak to each other anymore. No, nothing gets passed. Because the things that they do might have in common, it can't even come up for a vote on it. Right? Now, there are fundamentals and there are things, people have certain beliefs, and that's great. But we have to watch ourselves. If there's a body, there's a church, Christ said it would never be destroyed. Okay? It would never be destroyed. And so if you believe certain practices that go beyond a certain thing, what we said, like for example, the Sabbath. Work. The Pharisees, they defined work. Their definition of the word work, not to work on the Sabbath, became 1,000 things that you couldn't do. Even today, do's and don'ts, right? 1,000 things. Shoelaces, you can't flick. Nowadays, you can't like a light switch and all the rest. What does work entail? This is pulls away from the spirit, because there's a spirit behind the law, right? And we as Sabbatarians, we do not worship the Sabbath. We worship on the Sabbath, okay? We worship on the Sabbath to have a relationship with Jesus Christ and with the Father. And in that relationship, fruit is to grow in the field, okay? And that is what we demonstrate to people. Not that we keep the Sabbath, and then that we are nothing but a gray cloud over us as we walk about. We are joyful, we are peaceful, we unite people in what keeps us together, okay? And we appreciate the holy days, and we keep them for what it pictures in God's plan for an eternity of the fruits. The eternity of the fruit. Until that very last day, that last great day, that eternal day, the eighth day, okay? That's not even on a calendar. There is no eighth day on a calendar. All right, it's an eternal day that goes on forever, okay? Living with the fruits, the fruit of God's Spirit, Holy Spirit. And there are people, for example, I'll give you another example. There are people who think that you could own firearms. And you know what? If you live in a place and bears are out in the woods all the time and you want to be careful, you want to own a firearm, that's one thing. There are people who think that you should then go further, have a firearm for self-defense. That's not our position as the United Church of God. We think it's a dangerous position. It's a slippery slope. It's a slippery slope to sin. It's not part of new covenant. We don't envision when Christ said, love your neighbor and also love your enemies, that we picture a man by a picket fence going like this with a shotgun, and that's how we love our neighbor. That's not what we envision as the new covenant, right? But somebody who believes that can walk into these doors and break bread with us. And listen to what we have to say, okay, in the unity of peace. But that line can't be crossed if he's going to promote now somebody where he's going to promote it to people where you have to now, everybody has to be armed because the apocalypse and all the rest, and he wants to create the militia church of God. That doesn't happen here. That's not going to happen here. That's when we have to, for the sake of peace, say, no, sorry. If you're going to promote that, you can't stay. What we promote is peace here. This is what we promote. And so this is about being adults and understanding, because this is what can't happen, doesn't happen out there, that you have a particular difference, but you still can live with each other. And we have to learn to live with each other in the unity of peace. Folks, we need to do it with each other first, because the world is getting crazy out there. We learn to live with one another in peace, and this is how we do it. Okay, this is not something that I make up. Let's go to Romans 14. Romans 14. It says, receive one who is weak in the faith. And by weak, it doesn't mean he's got a bad faith. It means that this is what makes him stronger, right? And that person stronger. But not to disputes over doubtful things. Doubtful means that it's not clear cut, right? For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Now, Christianity changed that into eats, you know, hand sandwiches and things like that. But this is talking about vegetarianism. It's not talking about doing away with what God has written about what's clean and not clean. Let not him who eat despise him who does not eat, and let him who does not eat judge him who eats. For God has received him. Who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Again, this is not about the Sabbath. It doesn't say Sabbath. It talks about these were people who were fasting Tuesdays and Thursdays or on new moons. And they think one day that's when you should do it. And they're trying to force this on people. And he says, wait a minute, step back, because this we're talking about the unity of peace. Let's go to verse 12. Hold on a second, before that. And it says, let each be fully convinced, what does it say? In his own mind. Does it say each one should fully convince the other person's mind? Each one should be fully convinced in your own mind. And some people are afraid to walk that walk with the Spirit.
Verse 12. Let's go to verse 12 now.
So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or cause to fall in your brother's way. Because that's what we were saying. When you watch your brother's front and you're steering him, you're not putting a block in front of him. You're steering him to a fundamental place and know the fruits, right? Know the fruit of the Spirit, a fundamental place. And then it says in verse, look at verse 17. Look at verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That is the fruit of the Spirit. That's why Galatians 5 should never disappear from your mind ever. This is the kingdom of God, folks. It's the kingdom of God. It's not whether what topic you want to bring up over the gray area to now split up the church. Okay? We don't promote that here. We are okay with you keeping a practice of a certain way. We're okay with that 100%. Don't promote it here. There's a body here. This is a united body. And that's how we stay united. And it says, for he who serves Christ in these things, what things? The fruits. The fruit, right? He who serves God in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. You know why you're approved by men as well? Because that's how you're convincing. That's how you can be convincing. Because you exhibit peace and joy. You not only make God happy and acceptable to him, but you make the person next to you, whom God may be calling, happy as well. If you promote the peace. Right? And it says, verse 19, look at verse 19. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace. That's what we pursue. And the things that by which one may edify another. Right? To build somebody up. Not to trip them. We don't want to trip people up. And then let's look at verse 22. This is the clincher right here. Verse 22. Do you have faith? Right? Do you practice a certain way? Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Have it to yourself before God. It says, happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves, but he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith, for whatever is not from faith is sin. If you think it is sinful to do X, Y, Z, don't do X, Y, Z. Right? And so what I'm trying to say is tactics, not just for here in the church, tactics out there in the world when you're dealing with people and you're showing the light of Jesus Christ, it's how to be convincing is by exhibiting the fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is what appeals to people. The world is full of the other nonsense and the people out of control. It's the fruit that people want to see, including here in the church. So lastly, brothers, the last thing from the 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. The 2 Timothy 4, verse 2 piece where it says, preach the word, be ready in season, how to see, convince, rebuke. It says, exhort, and that means to urge, to encourage, with all long-suffering, right, with patience, and teaching, right? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, and they will heap upon themselves teachers. They will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. And this happened in Christianity almost immediately, right? And they went off and they did their own things and ridiculous, you know, substitution holidays for God's holy days. And what it pictures in its plan to lead us to the fruit that he has for the world itself, right? Now, it'll happen again even when things get as bad as they do. And then there's going to appear somebody who's going to appear to be a savior. Appear to be a savior. And if it goes contrary to the book, which we should be in, and contrary to the Holy Spirit as well in you by the fruit, then we have to understand those things and we have to be ready. We have to be ready to convince others and the church that not to be peeled away into that. The only way to be convincing is to live in Christ and that fruit. Now, it continues on. Now, if the fire, here's what's encouraging, because it says, and encourage and exhort and encourage. That means urge and encourage, right? You know what's encouraging? I think it's encouraging that you belong to a body, that you belong to a body that can say that, because there's not a lot of other bodies. You even mentioned that you might believe X, Y, Z, you're out, and you never come back.
Okay? I think it's encouraging that you're in a body that promotes the unity of peace. Okay? And I think it's encouraging to understand that as a result of that, that when fire comes, that you have brothers and sisters who are going to go through it as well. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, right? In the fire, and they were walking with one like the Son of Man in that fire. And that's what we have to be like here. We're never going to be that way if we're divisive. We got to unite now because bad things are out there. We saw it. We saw it this week, and we were mournful about that, and we're mournful now. So we have to be watchful. All things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry, it says. I'm being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Right? Finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearance. Loved it more than loving the socialist, or to loving the Republican, or to loving the Democrat. Loving his appearing. Loving his kingdom. Okay? Loving the fruits of the Spirit. You know, Christ, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he asked, we read that before, when he asked the apostles to watch for him while he prayed. And the apostles kept falling asleep. And he said, you couldn't even watch for me 1 hour? Right? And his hour of trial was upon him. The hour of trial is coming upon us. But when we pray, like that Psalm 51, when we pray, we're watching, and Jesus Christ is right next to us watching with us, and he's got our back. Right? And if we're in Christ, I can't even look at you because you make me tear up. If we're in Christ, we have each other's back. We have each other's back. All right? So be prayerful and be watchful in all things. Okay.